Would you like to start with anything you remember about the Severance Movement and how that gathered pace?
Yes, I think the Severance Movement for me was a very good exercise in how ordinary people can affect change and how a number of, very limited number of people had a vision. And the vision was not a selfish one. It was very much to do with looking at the population and the geographical area, and I think people realised that this end of town was very different from Pakenham and the rural side going the other way. And I think against all trends at that time, because it was for amalgamation, not for severance, even in those days, and that's going back pre-73, and what the severance movement, and I was only very much on the periphery as an onlooker really, but I was very involved because I was interested. It was interesting because you knew it was going to be an uphill battle, but there were enough people who had nothing to gain personally from being involved. And I don't think any of those original people really saw it as personal gain in any way, even at a local government political level. I think they had a vision for an area, and I thought that was a very exciting thing. And I think the City of Berwick was born out of that vision, and staff carefully selected out, still with, you know, looking for the best always. And I think that was one of the very exciting things, and I think the fact that so many of them are still there shows it must have been the right vision, I think.
Who do you recall as leading the Severance Movement?
Graham Sweeney.
What was he like?
Graham, well, it's a bit hard, he's a personal friend still, so Graham was a very organised being, very single-minded, certainly had vision, and he wasn't easy to get him to change his mind either. You might have had to work fairly hard, but he was a good listener, and but he was also very logical and very clear thinking in what he wanted to do. Bill Kilpatrick, who was a young idealist who was involved, and who's also a close personal friend who was still today, was involved with St Margaret's school, and he had a vision for a different sort of school, and that's he got involved that way. Pat Sweeney, who was a local, and still is a very much a local farmer, who was probably responsible for getting Barry involved in local government by getting him to build the toilets at the Narre Warren Hall. That was always a good introduction to local government, because the local Narre Warren Hall had nothing, no facilities at the back. Sid Pargeter, who was a councillor, another councillor whose name I don't remember, Jock, I think, somebody or other. I remembered it the other day for Barry and I've forgotten it again. And Barry, John Svartesveen, who was a ratepayer from Hallam, Pat Phillips, who was whose wife later became the first councillor, yes, Joan, very close personal friends, and Barry, of course, if I haven't said him, and off the top of my head, I think Les Crom may have been involved, but I'm not sure about Les. Yeah. I think that's about all.
What do you recall about the meetings that were held for that?
I recall they were held fairly often, and that they understood very early that they'd need quite a lot of money, and that the money wouldn't come from anybody but would be self-generating, and they realised that they'd have to, you know, we had fundraising things. We certainly had fundraising barbecues at, I think, every one of the houses I'd lived within at that stage. We'd sold our house and we were living actually in Kilpatrick House and then in Berwick in a rented house and then in our house somewhere else, and I know each time we had fundraising barbecues. So it was a long time. It wasn't a quick thing. It took, I can't tell you how many years because I don't remember that, but certainly all the time my children were little, we seemed to have a lot of people around, and I remember those meetings are always very carefully constructed, where they had them not always at the same time. Sometimes they were a Sunday morning and they were a breakfast meeting, sometimes they were a dinner or after dinner meeting. And it was the same group, but they generally had consistent turn-ups. It wasn't one of those things where you're looking for... and I didn't sit in on the meeting, so I don't know how they were held, whether they were formally conducted. But they understood very early the importance of networking and using people's contacts, and they certainly always had in mind that it wasn't going to be... there was going to be a battle, not just with Pakenham Shire, but also with Dandenong and other areas who would naturally see Berwick as doing something strange. And I certainly remember being involved in those early days with politicians in an informal networking capacity, but always using the opportunity to talk about it. That's probably as much as I can think of. There were 2 days of formal hearings, and I can't remember exactly the lead-up, but probably if we had each other to jog, that would come back. But I certainly remember Robin Boyd was involved, who was the architect, who happened to be the architect who designed our house, but who was obviously seen as a planning expert even in those days. Jim Gobbo, who's now a judge, was one of the people for the city of Berwick. And I remember it was quite a lot of evidence was given from what you'd call the ordinary Joe Blows, and I was always surprised at how professionally they did it and how sincerely and well and with a great deal of feeling. And I thought the hearings were a very interesting exercise because they weren't all that well attended by people you thought would have had a closer interest, and it made me realise then that even though you say there's no vested interest, people see vested interest as very different. You know, for us by then, vested interest was to have a city. And it was still far from being accomplished, even though the hearings were going through. Although I think most of the people who were involved certainly felt confident. I don't think they'd ever thought it wouldn't happen. You know, I think the vision by then had caught up, and there were lots of people who spoke against it, and for funny reasons in those days that I remember they were worried their rates would go up. It made me realise the hip pocket nerve's a very sensitive one very early. But people weren't afraid to speak out. The ordinary people came very much and supported, and financially too. That was something I hadn't said, because that had to be paid for. You didn't employ a Queen's Council lightheartedly. And we decided that was one thing certainly was discussed very openly, that you'd employ the best, that you wouldn't go for somebody who might get us through. It was good people involved. And from that, I don't remember the time span, but I know there was great excitement and great victory when the success was on.
I understand Graham Sweeney was cross-examined for quite a long time.
Yes, for quite a long time. I don't remember too much about that, but Graham would be one person I wouldn't have been at all surprised at being perfect, because he would have thought about it carefully. And he'd gone through some fairly up and down times even in council. I think he'd been elected for a year to Pakenham, and then I'm not sure even of the time frame then, but so he'd fought some battles without ever having that many teams behind him, and this was a real team effort. He knew lots of people would be supportive. Yes, he was examined quite vitriolically in some areas, but coped very well, I think. And I don't really remember, and I remember Graham's, Bill Kirkpatrick giving evidence, but I don't remember how that went. And I also remember Robin Boyd, because he'd come back and he was actually very ill at the time, and he died shortly after. So that was a very sad time. And he certainly had a vision for Berwick too, which was interesting because his family history was tied up with the Abeketts, and a very close history with Harkaway and Narre Warren North, and that was all discovered coincidentally when we were building. So there was always a personal connection which over...
And he'd been involved in Fountain Gate
Yes, very much at the beginning, yes. And became very disillusioned with that too, you know, and And the house he built for us was actually, which isn't really directly, except it's still there, was the smallest house he'd ever built and the cheapest. And I think he was aghast when... we'd been students and heard him speaking, and he provided another vision and made me realise that visions are very necessary things, particularly if you've got people who work hard to implement them. He was always very supportive of anything the City of Berwick did in those very, pre-City of Berwick days, really. Because I think he was dead by the time the City of Berwick came into being. Yeah.
And so then there'd be the declaration that the city would be formed?
Yes, and I can't really... I remember being at the Shire of Pakenham for that. It was the Shire of Berwick in those days, yes. And I can remember that was the first time I met Jan Bateman, I think, and Jan... I haven't got to know very well, and I think I'd class as a friend, and she was certainly not pro-severance. Mm.
And yeah, that surprised me when she was telling me.
Yes, no, she was very... and yet she and Barry became close friends, and were very supportive of each other. But I think she thought it would be the end of Doveton. I've never really talked with her about it since, which is interesting, but... it certainly had, it aroused a lot of feeling, which amazed me with its intensity, more, I think, in opposition than the people who were involved just got on and did it, I think. That's my recollection, yeah.
And then there's the elections in August of 73.
Yeah, well, yes, I remember. I certainly was, yes, very much, because... by then, Barry had already been involved in the Shire of Pakenham, so we were at Shire of Berwick. Mm. I always remember the city ones very carefully because we actually lived in Narre Warren, and Barry decided to stand for Berwick because Joan was going to stand at Narre Warren, and we thought that would, divide it all up. And also by then, his parents... No, they were still living in Narre Warren. I can't remember quite the ins and outs, but Berwick was fairly unknown to us, and we door-knocked every house. Mm-hmm. And I was certainly involved in that too, and so was Joan. She door-knocked for Barry too, with a baby on the back, or on the front, I think. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten. Whichever way she had the baby, anyhow. And I think that might have been actually, I'm sorry, I think that might have been in Pakenham days, and that got her involved in Berwick, probably. By then she already knew a little bit about what was involved with local government. And by then, people were excited about the city and being part of it, and certainly the people who came and offered support and help were some of the very old established people in Berwick, and that support surprised a lot of people because there was the first election was a team effort. Graham Sweeney and Barry and Marshall Bailey stood on one ticket, mm-hmm. which... they knew was a risk at the time, but they thought it was a very clever ticket because they'd covered all aspects because Barry was a young family man who knew, we knew certain areas very well. Graham had been around for a long time, and we thought from his point of view it would cover the church and all sorts of other things, and Marshall was part of the establishment, and as it turned out, Barry was the only one who got on. And that was probably the first time I realised there was a lot of very... how would you say, manipulative use of media and people. People were frightened, because by then it was already out that there'd be a vision for Berwick, which was going to be a metro town and all that sort of thing. And certainly it was used by people that you would lose your land or you would have to, you wouldn't get compensation. And that certainly frightened people, and lots of people have told me since how scared they were that it would affect them. Lots of older people. My mother-in-law now lives in Berwick, and she's one of the little old ladies now in Berwick. Mm. And some of her friends since have told her what was said to them and how frightened they were. And that was quite worrying, really. But at the same time, you just got on, and the election was fought. I think Barry won by 19 votes, so it was a very tight election. He won by 19
he won
votes.
That one,
yes, and perhaps he lost the next one by 19 votes. It was he won that one.
Yeah. A couple of people have said to me recently they wondered why Graham Sweeney didn't stand for Narre Warren.
Well, he didn't live in Narrewarren. He actually lived in Berwick.
Mm.
And he'd had more to do with... He had very little to do with Narrewarren. It was always Berwick that was his and his focus. He really didn't know... He was really our introduction to Berwick. He introduced us to a lot of people we certainly didn't know. And schools and kindergartens, of course, were a wonderful introduction to things. And we were very involved with Narrewarren, not as in those days. Pat Sweeney was the one who had the complete involvement with Narrewarren. I don't think Graham really had a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it wouldn't have made a lot of sense. But Graham's... It still surprises me Graham didn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd been very hard working, and it was the first time I think I realised that the religious thing backfired. You know, it was a very vicious campaign against him personally.
Was it an Anglican Roman Catholic type thing or anything?
I think it was anti-Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was Anglican because we had Marshall, who was Anglican and very much part of the establishment. Be interesting. Have you talked with Marshall? He'd probably be interesting on because they live locally, and Judy, and they were very involved too, because we became very good friends out of, you know, the council days, and actually then both our husbands went into Parliament, so we shared a house again, so there was a long connection, which I'm sure we both see very differently, you know, we all see differently. Sorry, I've lost where we were up to.
So then the election's declared. And
the election's declared.
There's an awful lot of meetings then up until...
Yes, constantly. And, of course, there wasn't a council chamber except the Country Roads Board hut on the corner of the highway, which everybody found very strange. Certainly, Barry and I talked about it for a long time. We decided there was no way we were going to do the bit that people were saying you need a chain and a gown and a... car, because there was no money. And we felt that was, and in those days of course councillors didn't get an allowance, and I think I found that very hard. People kept thinking our babysitters were paid for and our that I got a clothing allowance. I would have thought it was fairly obvious I hadn't got a clothing allowance by what I wore. Some of later councillors' wives gave me all sorts of advice on hats to wear and shoes to wear, and I don't wear a hat, so that upset a few people. And I found those things very unimportant. But I realised for a lot of people, those funny things, they wanted the tradition and the... And to me, we were a new city that was starting. Probably one of the interesting things, I don't know whether Barry told you about, we were living in a rented house in Berwick, and I think the city was already declared, and Barry was the mayor, and Lord Casey and his wife called on us. And that was very funny because somebody had obviously given her a bit of background information, but she was quite convinced I spoke fluent French. I speak German, but not French. So we had the first 5 minutes in French, which I understood enough to say I don't speak any French or very little. And she switched to German just like that and spoke just as fluent German as she spoke French, which was great fun. And my mother-in-law had gone to a lot of bother and made little cakes, and of course they didn't eat the cakes, but which my kids thought was wonderful. So they ate them afterwards, but I thought it was rather a quaint tradition, and I don't think they were really interested in its people. I think it was just a bit like the squire coming down to whoever the next in line is. So that was one of the funny... but we very consciously decided that if there were any local functions or bigger functions to be held, that we wanted the money to go back into the local community. So we didn't have catering people do it. We had kindergarten committees that we'd work, but we got all the kindergarten committees to work together, which was a first, really. And they all got on very well, with some greyer hairs, they often tell me since, because they catered exceptionally well and did very exciting lunches and dinners in local halls. But the money went back into the local community, and I felt very strongly, I still do feel that's a very positive way to make local government work. And it also involved lots of people in understanding the process, which was unintentional, but worked beautifully for next elections, because you had heaps of workers, you know, who offered to come out and help. And that was quite a bonus that certainly none of us had thought about at the time.
Do you remember much about the proclamation ceremony?
Oh, yes, I remember. It's the first time I'd ever had a ride in a Rolls-Royce. Was Lord His name's Sir Rowan Delacombe and Lady Delacombe, and I can't remember the aide's name, but he was a nice person, and he'd obviously done his homework too, and they really got very excited, and the gentleman who was the secretary for the local government, I don't think they were board at the time, but whatever their equivalent name was, he came, and it was quite in the main street of Berwick, and there was a band, and kids got the day from school, or the afternoon from school. My kids thought it was terrible that they had to go, because they, I think by then, had decided local government was a very demanding thing. In fact, when Barry used to get off the train, and if he stopped to talk to anyone, I can always remember my three-year-old saying one day, "Oh, now Dad's having meetings on railway stations." And so it was a bone. They did not see it as a bonus. But it was a big day, and it was an exciting day. Lots of people told me I should have worn a hat and whatever else I didn't have on. But I remember the speeches. It was the first time I'd probably heard Barry having to speak in front of so many people, so you do a bit of wifely nervousness on that day. I certainly remember both sets of parents being very excited, and my parents are not Australian, so they are very proudly Australian, but they're not born in Australia. They were very excited about it too, and it was you almost felt like it was a historic occasion. It wasn't a pretense, it really was. And certainly when we looked through inviting people, you didn't just invite the people who were responsible for helping Severance come into being, but you realised there was a long history before that. And I think that sense of history was certainly there, and the choice of having the first official meeting in the hotel, people thought, that was terrible. We also made a very deliberate decision, which a lot of people weren't happy about, not to have a religious ceremony there, because there'd been lots of people from all religions that had helped, and we felt to single one out. And in those days, the ecumenical thing wasn't as important, as you know, as much a fait accompli as it is now. So we decided not to have a religion. We didn't see it as a religious ceremony. We saw it as a secular, historical one. That certainly upset a few people.
And what after that? What particular occasions do you recall?
I remember the hard work just in choosing staff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the town clerk in those days, the Shire secretary or whatever. Yes, it was a town clerk, wasn't it? We were a city. Was an important one, and I certainly remember Pat Northeast and Fran coming to visit us, because they lived in the country in those days, and they came to see us, and we had lots in common because we both had little kids, and Fran had a baby which she lost. Was having a baby, sorry, and lost that. So that was a sad time for her as well as the happy times. But I remember thinking we were getting a very exciting town clerk, and I remember the staff generally, and we were very much aware that we tried to have social functions which involved not just indoor but outdoor and indoor staff together. And I think Barry regularly, I was aware, had meetings, you know, which, because I used to have to man the office when he did that, which again in return of course meant somebody else had to look after the children. So it was a very much a family thing, I think, that we saw it as but we tried very hard always to do it very professionally, because I think the fact that it was a new city and was being looked at as being certainly
under the spotlight.
And it had the I guess the can't think of the right word. The potential, I guess, to be the most exciting city, and we felt that was what it was going to be, you know. And certainly the selection of staff was very much a consensus thing, I think. It was they always decided to go for the best, and even if they had to pay more. That certainly caused some council arguments. I certainly remember a social planner being appointed, which wasn't a popular decision. But
that's been
it's paid off enormously, and has ramifications even in the area I work in. I work in Doveton, and Tim's still remembered in Doveton. So, and certainly the office, rather than the person in the position. But I think the choice of people was also very important. It wasn't just that they were competent, it was that they all understood the PR business and having to get out and do networking. And the very fact, I think, the first year, so many of the staff were elected to their national bodies and have continued to be so, showed how exciting the staff were. Barry certainly always saw the staff as being more important than the councillors. He always saw the councillors as being a come and go thing. He thought that if the right staff were picked, the city would grow and be exciting. I remember the discussions very vividly about the siting of where the city offices would be, which weren't here. And I remember that being a very, very varied discussion, because people were saying, no, we don't have this money, or yes, we do have that money. And the vision there somehow seemed to stop. And I think the next year, when Barry lost the election and five estate agents got elected, has to be seen as having some connection, because certainly people weren't in favour of green belts. I remember the metro towns and that thing caused a great deal of dissension. Mm-hmm. And I think we all learned from that change has to be slow. I mean, I know that doesn't happen anymore. It's imposed on, but I think successful change works if it's done slowly, and the more people are involved, the better. We thought more people had vision than they did, I think. And certainly it's interesting, John Bailey and John Loder both remember the city, and Don Glasson, who were very involved from the planner's point of view, remember the city of Berwick as being exciting days, but days that they wouldn't want to repeat from the trauma, because they were personally given a very hard time, which I thought was very unprofessional on the part of the councillors involved. And I think that's when I realised local government really isn't professional. It's, and I still think that's the same today, it's made up of a number of people who have various skills, and that's probably one of the strengths. I think I found that year probably a sad year in some ways, because I could see a vision that was realisable not happening because of self-interest. Now I'm that much older, I realise it wasn't a realisable vision, because you have to make people's hip pockets feel comfortable too. Certainly there were constant meetings, but I don't remember Barry ever complaining about the meetings. He always found it very exciting. I think the business complained, and I think his staff were marvellous, that they, because he took a lot of, he certainly wasn't paid, and if anything suffers, your business suffers, not your pocket, as well as your pocket. But I think we all learnt an enormous amount about people and the skills involved, and how important it is, again, I feel, to put a good organisation and a good structure into place. Now, I think that was done in that year. And I think, despite the variance of people, you know, because they were from all over the place, they were a good team of councillors. They had some rip-snorting fights. But in their own way, each one of them had a contribution. And on the whole, worked as a team. And I think each one of them probably understood how important the staff were.
I've always felt that the appointment of the staff was the major legacy of that first council.
I feel that too. I feel that's the one thing I often say to Barry, if you could look back at nothing else, you know, you fought for some things, and it was a good fight, because some of them weren't too easy, you know. But the ones we picked are very much here today, you know, and they were certainly, the fact that they stayed friends, I think, is a good thing too, that somewhere along the way you lose contact, but you see people and you respect people for their professionalism as well as their friendship, you know. And the fact, I always remember the night the election was lost a year later. And
what was that like?
That was a very, I've never seen so many councillors crying, and Barry patting everyone on the back and saying, look, there'll be another fight, another day, we'll be here, and by then we were in the process of building a house, so we really didn't have a place to live. And that was interesting, because somebody we met through the severance days offered their house for every meeting and every, and that was just wonderful, and I never had to worry about that. That whole family just took over, and there was nothing personal to be gained in that at all, but I remember certainly, I don't know whether one should say that in the history, I remember all the staff being there, and that was a very exciting and for Barry a very moving thing. And a large number of the councillors, obviously some weren't, but that was also very exciting because they were very worried how they'd go on the next year, because I think they felt they'd been given some leadership. And I think Barry learned a lot about being a leader in that year. Some people saw him as a dictator. He was a very strong chairman. He learnt to be a strong chairman, and he learnt to use his staff very well, and they learnt a lot too, I think. You know. And I think, again, what hit me was that the ratepayers started to realise how important the staff were, and I thought that was a very exciting bit of a legacy. Mm. Yeah.